What's up, everyone, and welcome back to Breaking Blue. You know, I almost said the name of that old podcast I was on. It was called Ass, the Ass Cast. I literally almost said, "What's up? Welcome back to the Ass Cast."
But wait, we were just talking about
shout out. Line. That's the problem. We just spent like 30 minutes talking about our past, pretty much,
about a bunch of crazy stuff.
And then, we've had a reason to this week, it just about slipped out. Anyway, I'm Nolan. Nolan. I'm joined by Mr. Wildcat Wave himself, Wyatt Huff. Wyatt, how's it going?
I'm doing great. Can't complain. It's basketball time. Getting ready for the big game tomorrow.
I know you're hyped for this. Great shirt. Keeping the faith. I don't have anything like that. I have two 96 championship shirts, but that's all the Mark Pope memorabilia I have.
Here we go.
I'll take it. Shout out my brother. And then have I ever shown you this? Look at this. It's this big like thing that's framed. It's the only thing in my living room. This is literally the only thing sitting in my living room.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It says Kentucky basketball just walked all over you. It's a shirt in a picture frame. Oh, man, I don't know who frames a shirt in a picture frame, but you know, here for it. But
you said unframe it. Wear it.
You know, that wouldn't be a bad idea, but I do like it. I worry that if I did it, I wouldn't be able to like fit it back in the frame, and it wouldn't look as good as it does now. Yeah, so like,
yeah, that does look perfect.
I'm not the handyman. My brother is definitely the handyman. As far as you know, people that live here. But anyway, that's inside peek of our lives, I suppose. What do we start with? Do you want to start with basketball?
If we're going to talk football, I'd rather start with football. Because that way.
Let's get negative out of the way first.
Yeah, that way we can.
All right. 6 minute timer.
Right. No, please.
6 minute timer.
Please.
All right.
There's not much to talk about,
really. No, I'm not interested in talking about the Murray game. I don't care who starts the quarterback.
I mean, we're off of about
6 minute timer's going.
No game to talk about. And we're going to talk about Murray State game. But yeah, today there was some news from the presser. Mark Stoops was asked if he was going to step down after this season and retire. And he said 0% chance that happened. So.
Ooh.
Ooh. I mean, and then tonight he was supposed to do his radio show and Vince Merrill filled in for him.
Hey, real quick, Wyatt. Where have I seen that one before? Haven't I seen that one before?
I bet you have.
Look, I definitely sound like...
It especially look familiar with the, you know... maybe he had a reason to. The timing was weird that he skipped out on his radio show.
There seems to be a correlation between that and getting extremely comfortable being the head coach of one of our top two programs.
Yeah. I think today maybe he thought, like, oh crap, I was asked the big, tough question. And then tonight he was kind of scared and I don't know. Maybe
who asked him that? Do you know?
John Huang.
I didn't have any idea who it was.
He asked him. He is the one who asked him the tough question.
Shout out John, by the way.
Shout out to him. He's
great book.
Really nice
I actually I never did get to read the book. Looked good though.
Do you have it?
I don't have the book. No, I need to get it.
I haven't got it either.
John, but hit me up.
Plenty of people do. Plenty of people do.
Plenty of people do. Shout out John.
I wish I would probably get it, but chances are I'm not a big reader. Like I try to be with stuff like that.
Right.
But I can never make it too far.
I admit I'm a dork. I read books quite often. Except they're not about sports and they're not about murder. They're about like nerd stuff like history. I'll give it a read. I am not shocked by it. I kind of expected it. But I don't necessarily think that really puts any of the scuttlebutt to bed. John Calipari was supposed to be the head coach here in 2024, 2025. Don't forget that. Him and Mitch Barnhart did a whole entire interview and it still didn't work out. Now, I'm not saying that I'm definitely not willing to make any prediction about what happens. I've said before what I think needs to happen, which is a separation. But if Stoops wants to be here, he gets to be here. The ball's in his court. That's just the way with this contract that this is set up to be. So it's nothing you can do when you're UK.
There's nothing. You're handicapped with all that money.
We got it. I love Mark Pope. Let's please not give him that contract ever.
No, it's he handicapped himself both ways.
Yeah, he did.
With Cal, he's lucky Cal left.
Yeah, Cal would have been here forever if it hadn't been for the entire fan base turning on him.
He tried. He tried to come back, but I think
it wasn't going to work.
Athletic department was just like, no, but no, you've already crossed the line this week after talking to Arkansas.
And you violated your contract.
I love how it's the football timer, but yeah.
Yeah, we got 2 minutes left on this timer. Totally. So,
okay. Stoops.
Stoops. I mean, really, is there much more to say? If he wants to be back, he gets to be back. I mean, I am not a fan of it. I don't really think it's a good idea. I think he needs to.
He's kind of got him in a chokehold. So what else?
If
can he
he's
do?
Gonna be here, he has to change. But I'm just not confident that that's gonna be the case. I'm just not confident in it.
I mean, you're starting to see the downward slide, and then do you want more downward slide, or do you want to go back up as a program? And maybe he sees the writing on the wall with the SEC getting tougher.
I think
steps back all while the SEC gets tougher.
Stoops that I have liked in the past, but that's now kind of becoming to his detriment, is that he's extremely confident. Now he's confident to the point where he probably doesn't realize that, this isn't working.
He seems this year like he has no answers to anything that goes wrong.
Yeah, someone used the phrase disappointed, not defeated. I don't know who that was. Was that John again?
I don't know.
I saw it in a video. I can't remember who it was. Whoever it was, and they hear this,
I don't
you
know.
Get credit.
Shout out John. Tough
that
question
was
has
insane.
Everybody talking?
Yeah, really. Like, come
I
on.
Certainly wasn't a basket. Just because, like, I don't know.
I'll be sure to tag him in this episode.
But yeah, great question. Has everybody talking?
And there you have it, timer. So, no more football. It's time to be happy for once in our lives. Kentucky basketball is almost back.
I love that timer.
It's 6 minute timer,
dude.
That
is hilarious. I mean, one this for is every the perfect, touchdown. This is the perfect week to do.
Do we change it? No, we can't because the conference plays over.
No, that is. Oh, shit. Oh, man, that's good.
Oh, please score points. Oh, we could have. Okay. Sorry. But I had to get that one out. Either way, Kentucky basketball is back. They are ranked 19 in the top 25 this week.
Spots?
Yeah. People are probably not going to be happy about who's ranked 18. It's okay. It's early. But tomorrow night we have Duke, who is now ranked number 6 in the Champions Classic. The nightcap means we're going to be up all night. That game won't tip off till 10 o'clock our time for sure. A lot of people really not concerned, but like, not sure what to expect. And I think there's about 4 different ways this can go, if not 5. I still think no matter win or lose that Kentucky is more than capable of keeping this game pretty close.
That's what I've said all week.
I'm not intimidated by them. I'm going to admit it. I'm not intimidated at all by Duke. They're a lot like we have been. I think we said this in one of those early podcasts talking about Mark Pope. This game is a lot like when we had Calipari and all the talent. It's like us playing Michigan State with all those like 5-year seniors. Like, or think Kansas with Perry Ellis, like 2017, something like that, when we had Shea and Knox. I think that's kind of what I'm expecting from this game a little bit. And I'm not saying I expect to win, but, you know, it's just the general feel of the game.
Yeah, I feel that too. And I looked at a bunch of film last night and noticed they kind of play like what Cal's freshman teams have played in the past.
Oh, yeah.
And to be honest, I mean, their assist numbers are around the same as Kentucky's. Like, I noticed that. I kind of put them together a little bit and noticed that they do pass the ball. And that I think the key for Kentucky tomorrow will be, again, rebounding like you challenged last game, but you gotta keep that up because they rebound a lot.
Yeah, I agree. Amari Williams, that makes him a very important player tomorrow. I think we're gonna see a lot of him in this game because of his size. First of all, Duke is bigger than us. Let's admit it. We gotta admit that, and they're taller than us, so. We're going to rely on him for defensive purposes and for rebounding for sure.
The more I think about it, the more it, you know, most people would say guard Cooper Flagg and let everybody else score. But I'm worried about.
I think he'd do Con, the opposite.
I'm worried about Con Knipple because of how, like, his suit. Stop. I knew it would happen. I'll just say Con from now on. I can't.
It's a great name, dude.
Con. I'm worried about Con. I really am. Like his shooting ability, I think he can get hot pretty quick. And if we don't contain him, I think he can. Honestly, kind of ugly.
I agree. The nipple man is pretty good. he is good. Cooper Flagg is obviously my main concern because of his size.
I think in terms of concerns, I think Cooper and Con are right there together.
Trademark the nipple man. Come on. Just trademark.
The nipple man.
The nipple man.
The there nipple we go. Man.
Claimed here on Breaking Blue. The nipple man. But no, all seriousness, What's going to benefit Kentucky, though, is the fact that I'm not convinced that anybody in the country can really run with them, maybe except Alabama.
I honestly think – I really do think Duke can. I think they can get up the floor, and I just think the team that can control the tempo the best, which I think that the ball is kind of in our court there. Just because of the backcourt that we have. I think they can slow them down a little bit.
And sorry, blanking on my words a little bit. The three-point shot, obviously, if it's falling, I'm not really going to be worried at all about this game. We do have to find other ways to score other than just three. But the first two games, honestly, we have done that. We're scoring in more ways than just shooting the three right now is what's promising. Now, I don't know if that carries over necessarily. We're going to need Jackson Robinson to have one of those games that we've all thought we're going to have from him. And Andrew Carr needs to step up a little bit too, if you ask me, defensive purposes as well. He is a little bit, I love Andrew Carr, but he is a little bit soft in the paint. He's not that physical, or not as physical as maybe we would like him to be. So I could see that definitely being something that Pope is hammering home in practices this week leading up to this game.
Yeah. And that another thing, I think you would put Amari on, I can't say his name, Maluk. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I think you put Amari on him, and I think they'll try to put Carr on Flag. And we'll see how that goes. I think Carr will have a big test there. Now, if it doesn't work, and if he can get up the floor right, maybe you put Garrison on him for a little bit, and we can see how that goes.
Garrison's another one, kind of like Amari, that I can I trust him on defense. Now, they're not going to be on the court together ever.
Yeah.
That will never happen.
It's kind of like, oh, no, getting flashbacks.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, no.
Not that. Imagine those two out there, and then you got the nipple man out there just dicing them up. That's probably what would happen, realistically speaking.
But really, like, I'm honestly, in a sense, more worried about the nipple man than I am Flag, to be honest. In terms of that threat, that shooting threat,
I think that's fair.
We've always been burned by that type of player, and I'm interested to see how they handle it, especially because it's a totally different team than what we usually have. And that I'm interested to see how they handle it on defense.
Yeah, Otega and Lamont are going to be really, really interesting to see them. They're going to play a lot.
Will we see an Aston Hagen's type game from Lamont?
Yeah, we could. We could. There's a world where we do.
I love Aston Hagen's. I loved him.
He's a great defender.
Not too many people did, but he was my favorite on that team.
He got on my nerves, I'll admit.
Really?
Lamont, speaking of Aston Hagen's, we're reaching Aston Hagen's level of inability to finish at the rim. If we're not careful there a little bit, we do need to finish at the rim a little bit better. Now, Otega, I'm not worried about at all at the rim. He's probably the guy to take the ball to the basket like that.
Pope did kind of joke about that after the game, so maybe it's nothing to read into too much. I think it was just,
missing shots.
Yeah.
Just that simple.
Maybe the luck went on his side for those two layups.
Well, hopefully that is the case. I'm going to give him benefit of the doubt. We've only seen four games of him on the court. Two real ones. So, I trust him a lot. Kerr Creasa, we haven't even talked about that. I mean, he is a phenom.
You have two sparks off the bench now with Rhea and him.
and there are moments where, I mean, a guy like Brandon Garrison can be a spark for you too defensively. I mean, come on, don't tell me like with Garrison, if a team is just driving it right at us in a game, that we aren't going to put him in to clog the paint, because he'll do it. He's great.
Yeah.
He is a great defender. We need to start that hype train a little bit more. Brandon Garrison defense is a really fun thing to watch.
His instincts, just like I think what we all praised Amari's instincts when he first got here. And what I was thinking was like, man, because I remember watching Amari, he's a McDonald's American, so I kept up with him a lot. And his shot blocking is really good.
So, now, him, Brandon Garrison 3, I can live without that. I'm okay without that
one. Yeah.
Brandon Garrison with his back to the basket, not a fan. We don't have to do that all the time either. At least start hitting
just
those.
Just be Andre Drummond.
Yeah. Just be Andre Drummond. Come in, block shots or contest shots, rebound, dunk.
Man, Andre Drummond's such an amazing rebounder.
Great pull by you, Andre Drummond.
He's still rebounding at a high level, by the way.
I forgot he's still in the league. Honestly, he's a guy that seems like he's been playing since I was like a baby, a newborn baby.
For you bettors out there, last year he was a wagon to rebound.
You're giving out NBA betting advice. No, we're not. We're not experts. Insert that line.
Yeah, we're not.
Yeah, sorry. What? But I am looking forward to this game, though. This has been the game that ever since the announcement that Mark Pope was going to be the head coach, I've had circled. And I think most of BBN has had circled because this is the real – this game, what we don't give the Champions Classic enough credit for, is always a good meter of where we're going to be.
It's the test.
It's the meter of where we're going to be. Are we going to be able to compete with these good teams?
I love it. That's why I love it so much.
The only year that I can remember it being a little bit inaccurate was the Tyler Hero, Keldon Johnson, PJ Washington year because we got obliterated by Duke in that game. And that team ended up being really good. So, you know, other years, think back. Like, even the Maxey team, they beat Michigan State when they were number one. Yeah, they lost to Evansville like a week later, but, I mean, they figured it out pretty quick after that.
That was always kind of a common thing with the Cal teams when he was here. Was I know our record has not been good in the Champions Classic. I can't remember. It's like 2-something.
Yeah.
But it was always, we lost this, but we'll end up figuring it out. And they did for most of the years.
We haven't won a game in the Champions Classic since 2019. Yeah. Think about that.
Unbelievable.
The Michigan State game, again. I'm trying to think, what were the games after that? That really bad year we had, the COVID year was Kansas. They actually played Kansas surprisingly well that game.
Yeah,
I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Davion Mintz coming out party.
What a weird game.
I forget that season happened. Duke beat us the year after. A lot closer of a game, if I remember, than I thought it would be that year.
Yeah.
Then Michigan State, double overtime, and then last year choked against Kansas. It's been a rough run,
wasn't it?
It was a terrible game.
It was
Severe Wheeler, man. That was the real experience right there. That was the best way to explain Severe Wheeler. Cool. Brutal.
He'll give, but he'll take away.
He there at the end, he started taking away a lot.
Oh man.
Man, we're on a roll here with these quotes.
We are.
One of our best quotes.
But yeah, like I've always loved this event. Like I know some people give it crap. I've heard people give it crap before. Have you?
I love it. I've heard it too, but I don't get it. I love the Champions Classic. You have four blue bloods.
I think most of the people are like, we don't need to play games like this too early.
No, you should.
Then you have other teams playing exhibitions.
It's a coronation of the season, if you ask me. That is the Champions Classic for most people is the indication that college basketball is officially back.
It is.
Because it's the first game, primetime ESPN on a Tuesday night.
You get Dan Shulman, Jay Billis, and Dick Vitale on the call every
year. I don't think he is this year.
Yeah.
He was last year, wasn't he?
I don't think he did it.
No, he wasn't. He's been gone, hasn't he?
Yeah, because of his throat cancer. But
yeah. So they did say they.
I think I saw an update the other day where he.
He's anticipating coming back, I believe.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I mean, come on. Dick Vitale is a legend. I mean, Dickie V is the legend.
I think he said later this week he'll figure out if he's actually cancer free.
So, let's hope he is.
That's something to watch. Like he's one of my favorite commentators of all time. Like, can't go wrong with Dickie V.
Man, he is my favorite. I met him one time. I have a picture with him when I was a kid. It was a really cool moment for me. Thought it was awesome. Still think it's awesome here, however many years later.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've never met him, but man, that's on my bucket list.
Don't you think Jay Billis gets too much hate? I think Jay Billis is a phenomenal commentator personally.
He is amazing.
I don't know why people dislike him sometimes.
It's because he went to Duke.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. I hate Duke a ton. Matter of fact, I will go ahead and say everyone's being like, right now, last week we've heard, oh, well, we might get some favorable calls now that Calipari's gone. We're playing Duke tomorrow. Let's not even talk about that right now. You won't see bad calls. Oh. It's going to be brutal.
I think most of Bills hate from Kentucky fans is the fact that he played at Duke,
and he wasn't really a rival when he was at Duke either. I mean, that's kind of before Duke was like insane.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
It was well before Leitner. It was, I mean, yeah. 5-6 years before that.
I was going to say, wasn't it early 80s?
It was like, yeah, that. I think 86. He was on that 1986 team that lost to Louisville in the national championship game.
Yeah. But, yeah, he is amazing. Like, the insight he gives is really good. And yeah, you need a guy like that.
Yeah, I think he's great.
That's why having a lot of times having former players on as commentators are important.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Now, Dan Dockage, on the other hand, life is good right now because that man is not on my television all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
I did not like Dockage. I'm going to miss Bill Walton, RIP. Bill Walton was an experience, but looking back, it definitely
was. Do you remember that when Dan Dockage was doing a Louisville game and he flipped off the crowd a half?
Yeah, yeah, I do. Yeah, Dockage is a, you know, interesting guy.
Oh, he is.
Very interesting guy. Not someone I think most of BBN enjoys.
Well, I think most of the entire fan base in college basketball.
Yeah, other than Indiana fans, maybe. Other than Indiana, they like him.
Yeah, yeah.
Bobby, all that stuff. And he was interim coach there. But, you know, it's well, who's some more that were, like, awful? Oh, no. Should we be negative? Let's be positive. Who's some great ones?
Jim Nance.
Oh, yeah, Jim Nance. But I think Jimmy Dykes is good, too, personally. I like Jimmy Dykes quite a bit when he calls our games.
Yeah, he is.
Another one.
Some people do not like him, but
I know. I Jimmy, remember, too, back when, like, I think it was like, well, been 2014, 15, 16, those years. Remember when Brent Musburger used to call all of our games there for a second?
Yeah.
That was weird. We were like his, you know, we were his last game ever. Fun fact, Kentucky is the last game. Kentucky versus Georgia 2017 in Rupp Arena is the site of the last time Brent Musburger called a sporting event before he retired from ESPN.
I was going to say, because I remembered him, because I knew that name sounded really familiar, and I knew he was a legend.
Oh, he is. He's like, phenomenal.
I remember him.
Because then he started randomly calling our football games. On SEC Network, because they demoted him after he said that thing about AJ McCarron's girlfriend.
But yeah, I do remember that now. What about Tom Hart?
Love Tom Hart. He's great.
I love how he adds a lot of personality to it, and that's what I think. Why I think
he's going to see. Surely he's going to see a promotion sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
I got no complaints with anything he does, man. No.
He's really good.
And then you know Joe Tessitore. I like him a lot too. He used to call basketball games a lot. I really liked him then. I like him in football still. He's doing WWE now.
Mm-hmm.
In Monday Night Raw. He's great for Monday Night Raw, if you ask me.
He's got a lot better.
Now his first week, you know, I was like,
weeks were rough.
Yeah, he's learning. He's learning. Which Monday Night Raw, looking back on that, yeah, we're drifting off into WWE here. I don't think there's been a good commentator on that show in a long time, other than Michael Cole. There's not been anyone like
JR.
But I'm talking about.
Oh, you mean like recent?
Like recently. Like with Triple H. Since Triple H has taken over the company.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
They had that Irish guy who was awful. Like, it was like ears bleeding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, he was awful.
He was terrible.
I don't remember. Was it the Patrick something, right?
Kevin Patrick, wasn't it?
Okay, yeah.
Kevin Patrick. If you have not heard of Kevin Patrick, look him up. Listen to him commentate. You're gonna hate me for that.
It was rough. And didn't they demote him to NXT?
Yeah, they got rid of him. I think they just fired him. Who was the guy that was doing it before him? It was the former UFC guy. What was his name? Because he did like WrestleMania there. Jimmy something. What was his name?
Oh. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. The bald guy.
Yeah.
I can picture him in my head, but I don't know who you're talking about.
Let's look.
I can't think of the name.
I definitely can't think of his name.
Might have been, was it Jimmy Smith?
Yes, it was Jimmy Smith. Jimmy Smith. I think that's exactly what his name is. So, yeah, there you go.
Oh.
Commentators, man, they're great.
More you know. Yep.
Great.
Dickie B, though.
He's the legend. He's the GOAT.
The GOAT.
That's the GOAT, in my opinion, at least in basketball.
People, before he got the throat cancer, they were they're making fun of him, but I've seen him get hate before, but you're going to get hate.
One of my favorite calls of all time is that Michigan State game when Maxie hits the three. He goes, "You have a star, Mr. Calipari. Mr. Jones on the radio is going to be talking all about him." It was such a great call. Oh, that's one of my favorite calls ever.
It was amazing.
When he hit the three from the logo to ice the game.
Yeah.
It was awesome, dude.
He's a freshman.
Yeah, are you serious? Oh, it's such a good call. I can watch that all the time. It's great.
It gives me joy every day. Every time I see it.
Obviously, Jim Nance has the call. Aaron Harrison, this is the point where he always hits it. Phenomenal call. That's a legendary call. It's iconic at this point.
And it went in, too. So.
Yeah, man, this is the point where he always hits it, and it goes in. Dude, you should have seen me whenever that shot went in. Oh, I was an idiot. I was being such an idiot when that happened.
Man,
greatest night of my life.
What memories?
Yeah, I know, right? Commentators are the core of our memories.
When you think about it. They are.
They really are.
They add to it. They add to it.
Exactly. They add to everything they do. As far as like remembering what happens in games and stuff, like that's why I think it is an art form. Like, not even joking, it's an art form. Who knew we would get philosophical about this tonight? But we are.
Oh, you're totally right. It's an art form.
I could never do it.
A lot of people think it's easy. Like, a lot of people think doing a radio show is easy, but I bet it's not because you have breaks and stuff.
Exactly. It is not. None of that stuff is easy. None of that stuff is easy. Even this, what we're doing right now, is easier than that stuff. Yes. But I admit I'm working every day to get better at it. I'm definitely trying to work at getting better at this. And I can proudly say that I have done that since I first started doing this stuff.
That's why you're a good host.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. We're getting better every day at it.
It takes a technique, a special technique that I don't have yet.
And I definitely am not the one to teach it to you. I can admit that.
I don't have the voice to be a host.
Well, debatable.
You have a good voice.
Really, do I? I appreciate that. I've never been told I had a radio voice until now.
No, it's good.
There we go. That being said, I guess it's time to move on to another art form.
I do have a couple notes on more notes on Duke.
All right, let's go ahead. Hit me. As a matter of fact, I'm going to mute right now, and you just hit us.
Okay. Duke has a main rotation of about 8 guys. Kind of similar to what Kentucky has. You got Flag, the nipple man. You got Proctor, Foster, Malak. How do we say his name? I can't say it right. I'm sorry. You've got James, and then Gillis and Brown. I am worried about Knipple. He shoots it at, he's averaging 18.5 points per game. And then Flag's right behind him at 15.5. So there's kind of a level there to where, yes, you could zone in on Cooper Flag and stop him from scoring, but I'm more worried about Knipple being on like that. He's a real threat from three. So far, Duke is shooting 52% overall and 41% from three, which is pretty efficient. I have noticed they pass the ball really similar to Kentucky, like Kentucky. Usually plenty of guys in the scoring column. I think one night they had 6 guys in double figures. I think their last game out against Army. More depth than usual. So like Coach K would usually play like 6 or 7 guys, but they go 8 guys that get double digit minutes a game and get a nice chunk of minutes. And then they have a couple guys that play a little bit. last game out, they had 19 assists to eight turnovers. So if they're like Kentucky, like usually Kentucky, they cleaned it up in the second half in their first two games. Usually in the first half, I've noticed that they have kind of committed more turnovers than usual. And then they go out in the second half and they clean it up. So the Cats can do that and control rebounding. I think they have a good shot. And, yeah, that's one of my big keys also is have to rebound. Malik is their leading rebounder. I think he's averaging 10. But, yeah, especially offensive rebounding, like Pope challenged last game. They've really got the zone in on that. We've talked a lot about Cooper Flagg. I've watched him in person about three times now and blown away every time. But that was AAU. So let's see how it translates to tomorrow night. His instincts are impressive. I think the most notable skill of his is his shot blocking. That's why his instincts carry over to his shot blocking. And I think that's where you see it most. He leads the team in three main categories, assists, blocks, and steals. So, yeah, I mean, and last game I noticed this, and it was kind of weird, but they shot way better in the second half than they did the first. Mm. They shot 35% in the first half against Army, and they were still up 23. And then they came out and shot 68% in the second half. So yeah,
streaky team, apparently.
Yeah, they can turn it up in a hurry, and I think they have a similar tempo to Kentucky.
Oh, there you go. Beautiful analysis, Wyatt. Congratulations. It's almost like it's your job. That's the weird part of it. But no, I mean, I got nothing to add to that, obviously. I'm just excited. I can't wait.
I put those all together because I told you I'm always prepared for the big games. I was not going to do that.
Man, we got a lot of them this year, and hopefully we got more of them for however long this thing keeps going for us. So I'm just excited for this game. This game's always fun.
But yeah. Do you have any keys to the game you'd like to add to that other than rebounding or tempo?
Threes.
Because
I'll add that. Threes. Like, if the threes are falling for us, I believe we'll beat them.
Are you worried at all about their shooting?
Not as much as some people, because we have done a pretty solid job.
I'm worried about Knibble starting the streak, and I'm kind of worried he might get hot.
Knibble man's good. Don't get me wrong, but. Trademark. But I think our team will likely be ready for this game. This game's been scouted out for a long time. I believe Mark Pope, and when he says he doesn't look a game ahead, I don't necessarily think that's what he was thinking about on Saturday. But there's no
his scouting report he had on Bucknell for on the
phenomenal
pregame radio,
dude. The entire thing, he went player by player.
I was
listening to that, and I was like, I was listening to that with my a couple of my friends who were over with me watching the game, and I was like, my God, this guy's going player by player on a Bucknell roster, telling me what their strong points are, and they're like, why do you give a shit? I was like, it's real to me, damn it.
Yeah, because like. That's how you know he's prepared for every little detail. Like
that being said,
every little detail.
That being said, I believe that he doesn't coach a game ahead. You can't tell me that man hasn't been looking at this game for at least months, ever since he got the job, thinking that this is the moment. Because this game
has that circled.
This game is the moment to show the national landscape. Kentucky basketball is back. You put the entire
and Mark Pope is not messing around.
Mark Pope is not a joke. This guy's legit.
I know he wasn't messing around the minute I saw him with a big fat binder.
I'll tell you the moment I knew he was. The moment, I'm not even kidding. The moment that he won me over, looking back at the moment that Mark Pope won people over, the moment he won me over and when I figured, okay, I think this is going to work, is when he said that line in his press conference Most coaches stand at podiums and try to moderate expectations. We don't do that at Kentucky. That line won me.
Man, I love so much how he understands.
That was the line that won me, and also when he called the students and talked about the importance of the university to him and all that stuff. Those two things, that was when I was won over, because I think that guy means everything he says. I have no doubt that he does.
You're going to make me cry over here. It's beautiful. Beautiful stuff.
Riveting. I know. It's not as beautiful as the video package at Rupp Arena to the song Where the Streets Have No Name by U2. That will make a grown man cry all day, every day. So,
first time I saw it, I got teared up.
I saw people sobbing at that at Big Blue Madness. I saw people sobbing at it. It was really beautiful. It really was. And I will say this before we get into DraftKings and stuff. That's what Kentucky basketball means to people. That's what it means to people here.
It is.
And if you're a Louisville fan, that's cool. It means something. That means something to you. I mean, I don't like you, but college basketball in this state is unlike anywhere else. I will never listen to anyone tell me that North Carolina is the greatest state for college basketball as far as fan bases go. I won't entertain it. It's Kentucky. All the way. We care to an extent that is absolute madness, man. It's madness. And Mark Pope understands that, and I'll give Pat Kelsey credit. Pat Kelsey understands that at Louisville.
He does.
So we have people representing our Commonwealth right now who understand the importance of this sport to us. And it's beautiful. It's really great. Now, I know which one I like more. being said, and I know what, but... This is different. This is an era of good feeling for the program, and it starts tomorrow when we beat Duke 100-92. That's my final score prediction.
I want to say this. At the end of the Cal era, we got away from what Kentucky means, and I think Cal got away from that and everything that comes with it. Mark Pope comes in. He knows. He understands it. Knows the assignment, like you said, all summer. We understand the assignment. Tomorrow, let's go kick some Blue Devil ass and get this season started right.
What's your score?
I'll go...
I'm taking 100-92.
I'll go 93-86, Kentucky.
There you have it. Do we do gambling? I feel like we don't do gambling. This is a great place to end this thing today.
It is good. It is a good place to end it. It is good.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Win or lose tomorrow, Kentucky basketball is back. Let's just realize that. Kentucky basketball is back. We haven't felt like this before a big game in a long time, man. It's been a long time.
I know the game's in Atlanta, but this city... should be buzzing.
This city is buzzing right now. I mean, everywhere I go, it feels like that's all people are talking about. And it's really cool. I haven't experienced this since I've lived here. It wasn't that way. The Miami game was kind of that way last year, but Miami was more like, dear God, John Calipari, if you don't win this game. That's not the case anymore. Yeah. So that being said, it was a great episode. Beautiful moment there at the end. Touching. Enjoy the game. Enjoy watching a fun product of college basketball for the first time in a few years, and enjoy watching one of our own go get the win. Go Cats.